You need to get to Sonya Blade in Gary, Indiana. Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, we are here to review Mortal Kombat from 2021. And joining me here today for this review is an old work buddy of mine. He's the host of the podcast This Seat's Taken, Robert Miranda. Rob, welcome to the dojo.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here. You've been on my podcast plenty of times, and I'm glad to finally join yours. We talked about it for a while now. Yeah. I know you do primarily Kung Fu movies, and at one point, we probably still would do. We talk about the Ninja Turtle movies in the 90s, because I'm excited. I love those movies still.
Ooh, that'll be fun. Yeah, I think is the Mutant Mayhem sequel, is it this year or next year? I thought it got moved to next year.
I think it is moved to next year. I think you DM'd me about that because I posted about my anticipated movies for this year. I think it did get moved to next year. But last year, we got like a teaser. I don't even know if you want to call it a teaser. Like it was like 15 minutes before the SpongeBob movie. They got something like a holiday special. And then like the TV series that come out, I believe last year or the year before that too.
Okay. I knew about the TV series. I don't have Paramount Plus, so I don't see any of that stuff. But
you got to, man. You're in the business now. All the streaming systems.
I know. The nice thing about Kung Fu movies is that there are so many that Tubi and Roku do cover me on a lot of them, because not all of these were like major blockbuster films, as opposed to the one we're talking about today, which was supposed to be a major blockbuster film. And this, their sequel is supposed to be like the kickoff to the summer blockbuster season. So we'll see how that goes for them.
We are in the middle of it. Like it's already started, buddy.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I go to the movies every week, and
of course,
Project Hail Mary for me was a start of it. I don't know if you had a chance to see that.
I did see Project Hail Mary. I did enjoy it. So you're counting summer movie blockbusters all the way to Project Hail Mary.
That's a stretch, because like 2 weeks after that was a kind of dry spell. But this past week, as we're recording this, Michael came out, the Michael Jackson movie. Now we're officially started. And it's usually like early May, late April is when the blockbuster starts. But yeah, you're right. It's a big blockbuster coming, and it's definitely going to set off a lot of, it's a big action movie, I would say, starting off the blockbusters.
That's true. Along with it's going up against that Sheep Detectives movie with Hugh Jackman, which I think looks great. I think that looks like a lot of fun for a completely different reason. Like,
yeah. Yeah, it looks cool. I'm going to go see it. Like Hugh Jackman than anything, I'm going to go see.
Oh, absolutely. So here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. Rob, do you think we can do that here today? Do you think we can talk about this in 30 minutes or less? What do you think?
Absolutely, because you asked me, this is my second time watching this. This is my very first time watching this. And
okay.
Fight.
I have a lot to say, and at the same time, not a lot to say about this movie. Like, it's crazy.
It's... Yeah, that was kind of my feel as well. There are aspects of this movie that I really enjoyed. The fight choreography and how the fights are shot are awesome. I think they did that part really well. This was my second time watching it, and I completely forgot how bad some of the acting is in this movie. And also some of the just like major changes that they made for this movie from the Mortal Kombat universe, that like if this movie came out like 25 years ago, probably would have been more forgivable, but like 30 years into the Mortal Kombat universe making these like big changes, it's kind of hard to forgive. I kind of looked past it the first time I saw it, but this go around I was like, oh yeah, I can see why diehard fans were not big fans of this movie. Did you enjoy it? What did you give us your like initial feel for it? Yeah.
So I watched this on a Saturday morning, just in my bed. Like it was a okay watch. Did you watch this in theaters when it came out?
I didn't see it in theaters when this came out. You know, 2021, we were still a little skittish about going to the theaters, yeah, at least right, for my wife and I. But I saw it. I watched it on HBO Max. I don't know, like maybe a year afterwards is when I finally saw it. And I knew it wasn't well received, but initially I was like, man, this is a fun movie. Great action.
Were you big into the video games?
I've played a handful of like the originals, but more so just like arcade of just like playing against friends or against CPUs. So like not super into the lore. Doing this, going to the arcade series I'm doing this year, I have gotten way more into the lore, and that's, you know, when I realized that, like, oh, Cole's a made-up character for the movie. Like, we've invented something for the movie here. Or they were talking about the, I think it's the Arcana is what they kept calling it, or the Arcana. Like, that's a completely
like the power set.
Yeah, the how they are able to access the powers, completely made up for this movie. Not anywhere in the original lore. So, yeah. What about you? Did you play the games growing up or anything?
No, similar to you, I'm not a big video game guy. Like, I do play video games now. Like, I but growing up, Mortal Kombat, it was on my radar. I knew of it. So I played a couple of games at the arcade. And this one in Street Fighter, I always got mixed up. Like, it was the same thing. But it's interesting to see it come to life. Before we get into the actual movie review, let's just talk about the movie, like the timing and wise. Like, it's 2021. There is another Mortal Kombat in the 90s. I don't know if you knew that or just seen that one.
Yes, there was two in the 90s. Original from
terrible.
Did you know? I'm not one of those guys who like swears by Rotten Tomato reviews, but did you know? At the recording of this episode, this is the one, the 2021 film that has the best rating on Rotten Tomatoes.
Well, that's because the bar is extremely low.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised, though, because that 95 film is such beloved by fans. But it's this one with a 55%. The original from 95 with like a 43. And then Annihilation, which is considered to be one of the worst martial art films ever made, a whopping 4%. And I bring that up because if Mortal Kombat 2 does really well, which I think it will, I think it looks really good. I think there's a, you know, if it gets a good rating on Rotten Tomatoes, they're going to be like in advertisements, you know, the highest rated Rotten Tomatoes Mortal Kombat film. Dude, the bar is so incredibly low for this. Like,
yeah. And I read it like it was supposed to continue, like the franchise was supposed to continue eventually. But, you know, obviously it's all about money when it comes to movies, especially franchises.
Oh, yeah.
The bar was set so low, like they lost the rights to the movie rights. So Warner Brothers eventually got it. This movie has been in the making since like early 2000s. Like it took them this long to find a script and director and producers that they were happy with. It wasn't until I got it written down here. It wasn't until they got producer James Wan, who directed like The Conjuring and Aquaman. And you could definitely, then once you hear in that, you could tell his picks in this movie, like big sets, practical sets, just to say. And then by the time they finished and ready to film it out, it's just bad timing, you know, because 2021, COVID happened. Like we were just barely getting it back in the movie theaters. And I remember when I didn't see this in theaters, I didn't even start my podcast until 2022. So it's not like I was into movies as much as I am now. It's just bad timing because no one was in theaters. And on top of that, it got horrible reviews, not just by critics, but by fans as well. So, I mean, this movie, I'm very, very surprised it got a sequel. It did numbers. I had a list here. Like, it had a budget of $55 million. It gained globally. Domestically, I don't think they made enough money to gain back their...
Okay.
But globally, it's like $84.4 million. So they barely made it a profit off of this movie.
Yeah, yeah.
Enough to justify a sequel. And then I know we're going to get into the details about this movie, but like, I had to look up the director for this. Like, who the hell is this director? Like, and what else has he done? Simon McQuaid. Simon McQuaid is like, I've never heard of that name before. No. I looked up his IMDb. Before this, he's done nothing but commercials, like for PlayStation, some other video game commercials. Like, he was great with that. But I was like, this is a big budget movie, and they're giving you a chance and take this movie and like cut it into like scene by scene. Like, each scene is pretty good, like for a commercial size scene.
Sure.
But put it all together, like it was kind of a mess in some places. And like you said, the acting wasn't that great, but and when it comes down to acting, it comes down to like script writing and editing, and also like a lot of these are first time actors as well.
Yeah, I didn't look up the director, but I did spend some time looking at some of the people in this movie, because I didn't know a single person, either time I watched this movie. I did not recognize a single person. Adding Carl Urban as Johnny Cage for MK2 is a huge, like, I'm not that big of a Carl Urban fan, but like adding him into this adds such big star power. A lot of people in this movie are either models or they're going to go on to be in other things. So hopefully once we come around to the sequel, things are a little bit better. The guy who plays Jax, for example, Makkad Brooks, at the time, I didn't really know who he was. He does go on to play James Olsen in the CBS CW Supergirl series. The guy who plays Kano, Josh Lawson, who for me is the whole reason to show up for this movie. I loved Kano in this movie. He was hilarious. One of the better, I thought, performers. He does a lot of TV. He was in Superstore, St. Dennis Hospital. So you do get a director with no big film experience, directing experience, but no big film experience. And a lot of actors and actresses who either have modeling or small screen experience going into what was supposed to be this big franchise launch for Mortal Kombat. So it does kind of make sense why, outside of the creative choices that were made that just are completely different from how Mortal Kombat works, it does make sense why, I don't want to say quality wise it was bad, because there's other aspects of this movie that I thought quality was pretty good. The CGI 5 years later, still pretty good, but like the directing and the acting, like, yeah, it kind of makes sense that we're not the most polished film for 2021. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I would agree with that. And he just didn't have a great experience directing. And you mentioned Kano's comedic relief, and he does great. Like, I did like him. Mm-hmm. I did enjoy his scenes. But once you get to that, because he comes in like at the second half point of the movie, but before that, it's such a dark and dramatic tone before then. And like, it changes drastically when he comes in. I was like, you need to manage, like, balance the levels. If you're going to add comedy to this, like, spread it out through the whole film. Like, you don't have to just put it in his scenes alone. And he was cool. And then when he turns, like, I don't know. Like, I really didn't get the gut. Like, oh man, he turned. Like, he betrayed his friends. Like, I didn't really feel. I didn't feel too much about anything, anybody. Like, it's like I wasn't connected too much about it. And you mentioned that Cole Young was like a totally made up character, and he's a main character in this movie. Like, why?
I know.
I don't know why. What made them decide to do that?
So Liu Kang.
I didn't even like his powers. I did not like.
I
his,
know.
Like, his, like.
I know. So no, Liu Kang is right there. He is the main protagonist of the Mortal Kombat franchise, especially the early days, which plot-wise, this movie is drawing from the original game of Outworld has won 9 Mortal Kombats in a row, one more, they win the right to invade Earthrealm. So that's like the main basis. And Liu Kang is supposed to be the main protagonist, and he's reduced to like a C side character. And instead, they introduce this whole new character who's a descendant of Scorpion. And I don't know, like, again, if this movie was made back in the 90s, when Mortal Kombat is still kind of like finding its footing, maybe it would have worked. But now you got 30 years of history by this point. Like, you can't be making major changes. It would be like, I don't know if you can picture this, Rob. It would be like if you made a Justice League movie and Superman was barely in it. I don't know if you can picture a movie like that or not.
Yeah. Yeah.
That may have came out right around the same time by the same studio, but
I didn't even think they added his characters to the video games. Like, you think they would after this movie came out, like, okay, maybe we can put him in the games now that we established this character.
Yeah, I don't think there's been a few games since 20. I think there's been at least one, maybe two games since 2021. He's still yet to show up.
Yeah, and like the big main point of the video games is a tournament. And the tournament, they didn't even do the tournament in this movie. Like, it's only been mentioned about. I was like, give me all this drama and tension in the tournament. Like, I want to see, I want I want there to be risk in this one. Like, I want to feel like we have stakes to lose. Like, oh, Earth might be destroyed because we're relying on these heroes that we don't know anything about. And instead, like, no, like, they're trying to get eliminated before the thing even starts. Like, give me stakes. Like, I want to feel like my Earth is gonna, like, I need these people to save me, you know?
So, and, so what I'm hearing you say is you had no connection to any of the characters, and you felt like the film had no stakes either. Is that?
No, not at all. Especially how Scorpion comes back at the end. It's like, oh, so nobody dies in this movie, you know? Like,
yeah,
come on.
Yeah, and I don't think anyone dies in the next one either, because I'm pretty sure Kano is back in the upcoming film. They are doing... Sub-Zero is coming back, but it is a different version. He eventually becomes like the ruler of the Nether Realm, I think is what it's called, like hell, essentially. Mm-hmm. So it's that version. Okay, fine.
I'm totally cool with that.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, that's lore. So that's cool.
Yeah.
But yeah, you know, and it's all the return of Scorpion, which we do get a great fight between him and Sub-Zero at the beginning and at the end of this movie, but basically amounts to just like this quick throwaway line of Raiden got involved and resurrected him. Just like a quick, you don't see it. It's done off screen. It's like, there's nothing.
Right. And I mean, it is a common thing in the video games where like they use alternate universes or time travel as a big thing. Like, they don't, easy way out to like to introduce these characters back in the thing. Like you said, done off screen. That was kind of lame. That was extremely lame for them to do that.
Yeah.
I did appreciate the sets. Some of the practical sets, like that we talked about, like that scene where, like, where they're training to try to get their powers, and how like that's like, to me, like the direct reference to the video games, like how like the slide kicking move, that was pretty funny, like with Kano, and he's just like, you also can do the same move every time, and it's kind of like the video games, like they're fighting, he's jumping and stuff like that. That was comedic, and but it was just that alone. Like, you didn't really explore any part of their realm or anything like that. It's just one room. It's just one room. Like, give me. And you mentioned Gary, Indiana, at the beginning of this movie. That I was not expecting to hear Gary, Indiana. That was pretty cool. And this place, like most, well, half of it takes place in Chicago, which is pretty cool. And so, like, I didn't even realize it was taking place in Chicago. Like, they didn't really go too deep into it.
I felt like you know that meme from, I think it's Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, of DiCaprio pointing.
Yeah.
Like, that's kind of how I felt when that came up. I actually looked up the address because I live 10 minutes from Gary. So if this is a real place, I'm going to go get a picture there and post it on social media. Turns out the address is not a place in Gary, but it is a place in Chicago. That is an exact address of a location in Chicago. So that was cool.
Pretty cool.
I wish.
Very cool.
I wish it was in Gary, because then I could just drive right there and say, hi, where's Sonya Blade? I'd love to hang out with her. But I did like a lot of the sets. I liked how the fights were shot in this movie. A lot of times, one of my big complaints with like modern Hollywood fight movies is that a lot of the fight choreography may look great, but everything is so tight and so fast.
Yeah.
Usually to conceal stuntmen being in the shot, that as somebody who appreciates watching combat, I lose interest. I feel like I'm not getting what I paid for. This, on the other hand, you can see everything. You can see everything in these fight scenes. Again, this, like, especially like the fight there at the end between Scorpion and Sub-Zero. They got the swords, Scorpion's got the chains. Like, you can see all of it, and I really enjoyed it for that. The fights in this movie are brutal. Like, they really do lean into the Mortal Kombat is a brutal fighting game within this. Whether it's Kang Lao, he's like riding the winged person through the hat and splits the person in half, or when Jack smashes the one guy's head, like, it can get brutal, and you can see it well.
And my big thing is, like, it was like the ADR, like this like sound when they're fighting, like, so you can hear really like someone's bone crushing or the chains. I was like, they're doing too much with that. But then I was like, that is Mortal Kombat's whole thing. Like, that is literally the whole thing. Like, you hear their skulls crushing, and then I kind of like wish someone said like finish him or something like that. That was pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
And like, to the point, like, yeah, the modern fight scenes, like, and you see a lot in superhero movies too, like it is tight close-ups, dark scenes, like you see in the mm-hmm. Batman movies where it's just dark, very dark. And and the Scorpion in the was first, what did you say his name was?
Sub-Zero,
excuse me.
Yeah.
I think the first fight with them was probably my favorite in the whole movie. Like with him using that chain with that, like the mm-hmm. like katana at the end of it, that was pretty badass how he's utilizing that. And to see how that turned out, like, damn, I was really, Sub-Zero was underused in this movie too. Like he was a big player. He's a big mm-hmm. hammer in this movie, but he disappears for a lot of the movie. I was like, and then what's his name? The one who like uses lightning to transport people. I was like, you are not utilizing that power well enough. Like if someone comes in, just zap him away, zap him to the other side of the globe. Like you do not.
So so that's Lord Raiden. And he is, I think the best way, I know you're a big Marvel guy. He's basically like the Watcher, where he is really not supposed to get involved. But like the Watcher, like occasionally bends the rules because he feels obligated to do something. Still, if you don't know that, if you're not as inclined to the lore, then yeah, it's very easy to complain that, okay, well, why aren't you like just moving people around the field while they're having this big battle when Shang Tsung shows up with the person with the teeth and the dude who's not Black Manta? I totally forgot their character names. I was doing really well, and then they showed up, and I was like, I can't keep all of these names straight in my head.
Yeah, and then four-armed creature at the end, it was like definitely too similar to the Hulk for me in this one, like especially the fighting stuff.
That's Goro. But that one I can help you with. That's Goro.
Thank you. And then, like, we talked about Cole's, like, powers. Like, he just armored body, and, like, he can makeshift things. I don't know. I was confused about it. But I hate this, not just with this movie, but all movies that do this when they gain powers and they just immediately know how to use it. You know, like they know full control of their powers. I was like,
well, that, I don't think that immediately happens with Sonya Blade. So she kills Kano. She gets the dragon mark and his arcane stuff. That is all midichlorians from Star Wars Episode One. And then she immediately shows up in the next scene and she's able to blast lasers through her hands with like no explanation whatsoever that she knew that she could do this.
No, I hate that. If you're going to take time to like, okay, like we got to like get our powers. We got to earn our powers or unlock our powers. Like show me like this is the montage of you like training how to use it at least, you know?
Yeah.
Which you could have saved time by just giving them the powers from the begin with, you know, like they also do in the video games.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Or accidentally using them. Like, I know people like to complain about Rey from Star Wars, but I think of the scene in Rise of Skywalker where she accidentally shoots electricity from her hands. Like, to me, that's different. Like, I would like to see the training montage, but every once in a while, if somebody doesn't know that they have, like, untapped potential and accidentally does something, for me, that's fine. But that's not what happens here with Sonya. She just walks in all confident. Now I can shoot lasers from my hands.
Mm-hmm. I felt like this movie, and not just this movie, but like with all like movie adaptations, video games adaptations, movies, you're trying to please the video game fans, like the people who really enjoy the Mortal Kombat. With, on top of that, gaining additional fan base too. Like people like us, like who didn't play the video games, did not do a great job of that at all. I think this movie was more specifically for people who like the video games, and people like us just did not care for it. Because I had to do research to like see what compare them and like, and I find out like there's so many differences. I was like, damn, they left a lot on the table. Granted, the second one does look good. I'm excited about the second one. And it looks like there's a bigger budget, but it's the same director coming back for it. So now I'm kind of nervous about that a little bit. But it's a bigger cast, and we'll see what they do when they're coming up.
I'll say something towards that in a second. I think I agree with you that if you're trying to appeal to like casual people, like they didn't do quite a good job with this movie. There's a lot to keep straight, and I don't think they do a good job of like explaining things as well. I will say though, with the addition of Cole and the whole Akane thing, I don't know if they really did a good job appealing to the hardcore fan base either, because those are such, you know, they reduce Liu Kang to just like a C side character. Like, I don't know if they even really did a good job trying to reel in the, you know, diehard fan base other than, okay, here you go, some sweet ass fight between Scorpion and Sub-Zero. Outside of that, like,
I think maybe that was their choice with include making Cole like the star of it, because like if we're watching it from his point of view, like he's learning all this, we're learning it along with him, like this kind of world like they're a part of. And they give him a background story that they don't ever touch on. Like, yeah, he has a family, he has a daughter, but he's also an MMA fighter that we learned that he kind of sucks. We don't even see him. I mean, that would have been cool to see him opening up with an MMA fight, like, to show us his skill level and see, like, yeah, he is a strong fighter, but he's more wild, like, as they describe.
Yeah.
They definitely should have showed us that, at least, to establish what he can do. And then, like, there's the training montage where, like, they sent him home. He's like, dude, you suck. Like, you're not worth this. Like, you're just wasting your time here. And then for him to go home, like literally 10 minutes later, he gains his powers. It's like, this you're wasting a lot of time not showing stuff. And you could have built on this character a lot more. I could tell they were trying to spread their time with each character equally.
Mm-hmm.
No, give me this. This could have been Cole's point of view. If you're going to invest in a new character and make him the star of it, invest in it. Like, let me follow him. Let me learn all these powers with him. Let me learn the rules of this new reality, because I don't know anything about this. This is me selfishly. If they're going to go to this route, lean into it. But if you're not going to make up a character. Do not make up a character. Just stick with the characters everyone loves already.
Absolutely.
I remember Cage was like the big one that everyone was mad that wasn't in this first movie.
Yes. Yeah. Johnny Cage, and then no Katana either. Those are like two big,
like, the faces of the game.
Yeah. Two big fan favorites, two faces of the game, of the franchise, not in this. Both of them, obviously, Johnny Cage. It's like the whole film is being built around Johnny Cage being in MK2. But Katana has also been confirmed for the sequel as well. And I think it looks good too. You brought up earlier that this movie kind of goes through like tone shifts throughout it. Like, it's really dark and then super comedic and then kind of dark again. It seems like they're really sticking with more of like a serious but still like funny kind of action film. I'm getting almost like a Bullet Train or like Violent Night kind of, like, it's going to be serious, it's going to be dark, but it's definitely going to lean more into the comedy, which I'm here for. I like that blend.
I'm cool with that too, but like I said, just evenly distribute it out. Like, give me comedy like throughout the whole thing. Don't make Kano. He was the only funny character in this movie. Like, give some of the other characters jokes if you want to make this more of a comedy, you know? Like, don't let them all rely on this one. And he was funny in this movie. I'll give him that. I did laugh out loud a couple times. I don't want to do nothing but bash in this movie, because there are highlights in this movie as too. Like, it is funny, it is comedic, it is great action, great fight scenes. They just didn't utilize everything that they could. But for that, like, I don't know if you follow me on Letterboxd. I have Letterboxd, and I think I get like a 2.5 out of 5 stars. Like, it's just mid. Like, they left so much on the table. They could have done so much more with it. Even like, if it's, take all the video games, if the video games never existed, this is still an average movie. It's still a very average movie.
Yeah. No, I think I gave it like a 3, like on Letterboxd as well. Just like very, very average. Like, and but I'm still hopeful. Hopefully the director does a better job for the sequel, but I'm still hopeful for what the next movie has for us. Rob, we're just about out of time. Do you have any closing thoughts for Mortal Kombat 2021?
No, I'm definitely going into the new one. I'm excited, with hopes up. And this movie, if you're going to watch the second one, I do highly recommend watching this one at least, because I'm sure there's going to be direct references. Is this worth another watch? No, definitely not. But I'm glad I watched it, at least. Glad I watched it. I got out of the way. I, like, as you mentioned, I have a movie review podcast. I'll invite you on back on for the sequel coming out. It's
perfect.
At the end of mid-May, correct? If I'm not mistaken.
May 8th.
Oh, okay.
Just so right around the corner.
2 weeks. Okay.
Yeah. We'd love to come I'd love to come back on and hang out with you. And listeners, if you want to check out This Seat's Taken, you can find a link to it in the description of this episode. Robin, what's your you have a co-host now, Brandon, right? Not me.
I do have a co-host. Before, it was just like I had a different guest on every week, but like after 3.5 years, I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's a lot of work. But
oh yeah,
Brandon Cole is another Brandon. Who's been doing it for a year and a half. He's been a freaking best, and he's great. He's just the biggest movie nerd as us. And yeah, he's great. Check us out on This Seat's Taken podcast, Instagram, Spotify, Apple, we're everywhere.
Perfect. Thank you, listeners, for checking out today's episode. Please rate and review this podcast wherever you listen to your shows. Pass it along to a friend. Check out the other shows here on the Anisal Podcast Network. And you can follow Kung Fu Pizza Party on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party, on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza, PRTY. What's your Letterboxd handle? I forgot.
I believe it's That Movie Guy.
I think that's what it is. Yeah. I usually check.
Yeah, that Movie Guy. You can follow my Letterboxd as well.
Yeah. And thanks for listening. This has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where we've delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time.